This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm your host, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
How are you doing this week, Tim?
Tom, I'm jolly.
Does that mean fat?
No, it means happy.
Yeah, but it's like specifically, like a skinny person can't be jolly, can
they? Yeah, sure they can.
I don't think so. I'm not saying you're fat. I'm saying maybe you're misusing the word.
No, I mean, look,
you're trying to appropriate jolly culture.
Look, I think anybody can be jolly. Very few people actually pull it off the way that I do.
But Tim,
y'all wish you could be this jolly. What?
You're not jolly.
What do you mean? Look at me. I'm bubbly. I'm effusive.
Like 20 minutes ago, you were like, oh, I'm tired. The last thing I want to do is talk to you for an hour.
Yeah, and guess what? I'm jolly enough that I can pull it off, and people are listening to this, and they're like, man, this guy doesn't seem like he's tired of talking at all. Doesn't sound like he's been freaking talking all day and never wants to say another word. He just sounds like he's pumped to talk about Christmas movies.
Yeah, he sounds like he's been locked in jail with an iron mask preventing him from talking for years.
No, because if that were the case, then my voice would be all scratchy.
He'd be like, I couldn't talk for a few years.
So yeah, and I wouldn't
bear with me,
and I wouldn't sound jolly at all because I'd be like, I gotta figure out how to make sounds again. You'd forget, like your tongue would be so out of practice, right?
Yeah, I think that is like a known thing that happens. Like people
people that take a vow of silence.
No, like people that get stranded on desert islands. And
I would talk constantly on a desert island.
Well, you'd have to get like a volleyball to be your friend or something.
Nah, I'd narrate it. I just narrate.
And now Tim.
Yeah, now our hero.
The coconut tree.
Yeah. Because that way I would live the fantasy that at one time somebody would tell my story because it would be remarkable. And getting stranded on a desert island and dying there, isn't that remarkable? I mean, yeah. I guess so. Most people, it's worth remarking on.
Oh, yeah.
Because most people don't get stranded on a desert island.
It's something to bring up at a cocktail party.
Wouldn't that be weird if you're at a party and it's like, so what do you do? It's like, unemployed. Oh, between jobs. Well, you could say that. I used to deliver packages for FedEx, and I've been on this deserted island for the last 7 years.
Yeah.
Just got back. I just shaved, but I still have that sun-damaged skin.
Yeah, I'm very tan, you might have noticed.
Yeah, that's one thing. I never saw Castaway, Tom.
Yeah.
Is that a Christmas movie, first of all?
I mean,
it takes place at Christmas, so it's a Christmas movie. It's a Christmas movie.
He spends multiple Christmases on that island.
That's true.
But
how long was he there?
I think it was like 7 years.
Wow.
It was supposed to be.
Classic 7 year itch, huh?
Yep. But yeah, like once he gets to the island, we never see the outside world until he re-enters it.
Yeah.
So we don't know.
Why are you interested?
Well, I'm just saying, like, we don't know what day, you know, it could, the day he made Wilson could have been Christmas for all we know.
Probably was.
Yeah.
The birth of the Savior.
So, you bring up an important point, Tim, and you seem to imply that you have issue with what some people consider Christmas movies.
Well, we're talking about Christmas movies this week.
Uh-huh.
I've seen a bunch. I haven't seen all of them, obviously.
Right.
There's a lot out there. But it's the
same thing. It's a popular genre.
Yeah. Enough with the, like...
You know what's a I'm cutting you off.
What?
No, a crazy thing about the Christmas.
Oh, you're cutting me off? What else is new?
A crazy thing about the Christmas movie genre is that when a Christmas, you know, Christmas movies come out in theaters around Christmas, they delay the like home video release until the next Christmas.
Yeah, but why wouldn't you?
I guess, yeah, that makes sense, but it is just like a weird thing. That it's like, what if you really liked a Christmas movie in the theater? It's like, well, yeah, you know, welcome back to like 1985. You're going to have to wait a year for this to come out on video.
First of all, they should consult you because you know how to steal every movie off the internet. You've downloaded every illegal movie there ever was.
Yeah, but only illegal movies.
Yeah, legal movies that
no,
were legal.
No, yeah, Tim, these are mostly snuff films.
Yeah, snuff films, cannibals.
Mm-hmm.
They don't kill anybody
on camera.
There's
a bunch of taboo content.
Yeah. No, Tom, like, what kind of maniac? Besides Home Alone, what Christmas movie would you ever want to watch not at Christmas?
See, I think Home Alone might have... that was the case with Home Alone, too, right? No, like the next year they put it back out in theaters, I think.
No, the next year they already
had Home Alone 2.
Yeah, they filmed Home Alone 2 in like 15 minutes.
Yeah. Well,
they just slowed down the film by 4 times.
Well, I mean, they pretty much just took the same script and made the movie
again. You know
what?
People say that a lot. Home Alone 2, look, it's not the same movie. Kevin McAllister, and we've covered this extensively on our Home Alone 2 episode of this show.
I've heard even more in real life.
Kevin McAllister is a completely different character in Home Alone 2.
How so?
He's
a lot more independent.
Yeah, he's not a victim of circumstance. He's actually a bad kid in the second one.
Yeah, well, you could argue he's a bad kid in the first one, too.
Why is he a bad
he
kid?
He set off firecrackers in the kitchen, for God's sake.
To protect his home.
Yeah, he could have called the cops.
The phone line was down.
He could have walked down the street and talked to somebody.
He didn't know what was going on. He thought he made his family disappear, Tom.
Yeah, I guess that is maybe true. And so like he was afraid of jail time.
He was afraid of like one, what was going on.
Yeah.
And two, he went to get a toothbrush.
Mm-hmm.
And then he accidentally he saw the old man.
Yeah.
And he ran out of there, and then the cops started chasing him because the boy at the store went, "Shoplifter!" And the cops chased him, so he thought if he went to the cops, he's going away for that toothbrush larceny.
Yeah. The McAllister should have raised their kids better.
What do you mean? McAllister should have... Well, not leaving them at home alone is probably...
Well, yeah, but also, like, you know, teach them, like, not to be so dumb, like... If you accidentally shoplift a toothbrush, like, don't that you can go talk to the cops if your whole family disappears.
You don't know when you're 7 or 8. What is he, 8 in that movie?
I think he's 8. Yeah,
you're 8. You don't know that. Like, you just know you commit a crime, you go to jail, right? I don't think most little kids have a concept of like, oh yeah, well, there's different sentences for the severity of the crime. Right?
How
it's just like,
long,
well, you're going to jail.
How many days was he home alone?
I think just like 3.
Yeah, right? It's not very long.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point, like how long could it possibly take to get from
back.
Paris to Chicago?
Yeah, yeah, even with storms and whatever.
Yeah. There weren't even any storms.
No, I think it's just that it was like all the flights were booked, right?
Yeah.
There
were some mean people at the airport when Mrs. McAllister was trying to like give all her jewelry for a flight home because her son was home alone. The police department was not very helpful either.
No. And also like the McAllisters, like I get that they had their whole extended family with them, but like didn't they like have anybody they work with? Or family friends that could go by the house?
They called the neighbors and they're like, well, the neighbors are out of town. It's like, man, and we covered this. They must have been, like,
oh, real
look,
shits.
They lived in that huge
house. Yeah.
They, you know, I think the McAllisters probably weren't super well liked.
Yeah,
in their
they
community.
Make a lot of friends.
Yeah,
but like Mr. McAllister seems like the kind of guy that would be like, oh, like I'll call the like, you know, the like guys I always yell at the office and tell them
yeah,
to go over.
I feel like he has the vibe where like Mr. McAllister has like a fixer on on staff, right? He's got a guy who's like, don't worry. I'll get, you know.
Yeah, like, I'll go have my mistress stop by and see.
Well, he's like, that's not what I
was. Oh, no, but I also assume that he's like,
I mean, I'm kind of seeing this, family.
I'm seeing this college girl on the side. I'll have her go take a look.
Well, I didn't buzz call his girlfriend.
They get divorced eventually.
Well, that's not really canon, Tom.
It is canon. It happens in Home Alone 4.
I mean, yeah, but come on.
If that's not canon, then what the hell's canon?
That's what I'm saying. All right, so here we are.
Not
fully
just talking about Home Alone.
Fully enmeshed already. Yeah. Where we dived in.
Dove.
No, yeah. we have dove.
We have doven in.
We have doven.
In. All right. So, in your book, then, what makes a Christmas movie a Christmas movie, and what is your problem with certain things being called Christmas movies?
I have no problem with people classifying Die Hard as a Christmas movie. I have a problem with people in 2018 acting like it's a clever thing to say, like, can you believe it? My favorite Christmas movie is Die Hard. Cool, yeah.
I bet you never thought of that.
Idiot,
before.
Loser, frat boy said that in 2007.
Yeah.
You're 11 years behind the curve. Like, it's fine. You can think it's a Christmas movie. I don't care what you classify movies as.
Yeah. Just stop being impressed with yourself for
having
an R-rated violent movie be your favorite Christmas movie.
You know what? And the same thing with, like, you want to know what my favorite Christmas song is? Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, they mention Christmas in it. It's like, yeah, cool. Great. Yeah, it's a great Christmas song. But, like, stop saying it like that. They all say it the exact way that I say it.
Yeah.
Actually, Santa Claus is Coming to Town isn't the best Christmas song. It's like, yeah, it is, idiot. Especially the way the boss sings it. Santa Claus, come. Was he the first one to do it that way?
I mean, he was the first person to sing it like Bruce Springsteen, yeah, I guess.
Yeah. The boss.
So in your book, then, like, any movie that takes place at Christmas time is a Christmas movie.
If you want to call it that. Yeah. I think it should be... It should have enough references to Christmas. Like, you know,
Jesus should be one of the characters.
It should be worshipful. It should, Jesus should be, if not the main character, one of the top three build characters.
It'd be weird if you saw a movie and Jesus was the third build character. He just kind of like pops in for a few scenes.
Yeah.
Like, what would that story be?
Probably, I don't know, it would have to be pretty compelling.
Yeah. Or maybe it would be like, you know, them setting up like the Bible universe, and like there would just be a scene at the end where Jesus comes in, you're like, oh, it's all connected.
Yeah, like if they made a TV show where it was like, no, you know what? This universe is strong enough, like Mary's in this, Joseph's in this, Pontius Pilate's in this.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, look, we don't even need to show Jesus in this. That's how strong this world is. But you at the end of the last episode, you're going to see Jesus coming out from behind that rock being like, hey, guess what, guys? I've risen.
Yeah. So you're pitching like a show that would be called Nazareth, and it would be about like the story before the story.
Exactly. Well. I think it's got legs.
I would classify...
Oh, I didn't ask.
Yeah. I know. That's why I'm just starting to talk.
That's why there was that silence and you just went,
So if you ask me, I would say...
do you want me to ask you, Tom? Hey, Tom. Uh-huh. In your eyes, what makes something a Christmas movie?
I think it has to not just take place during Christmas time.
Yeah.
And I think that that's still like a valid thing to like. Like, you know, as we go through this list, like there are movies that aren't Christmas movies, but take place during Christmas time that I really like the aesthetic of it because of that. But I'm like, yeah, but that's not like the point of it had nothing to do with Christmas, which to me is usually like, I would be as broad as say, like, a movie has to be about family or like learning lessons or
I disagree with that.
giving is better than receiving, like some kind of like a moral.
It has to be wholesome to be a Christmas movie?
It doesn't have to be like wholesome, but it has to have like some kind of a like moral to it.
Okay.
Like Die Hard doesn't have a moral to it. And like I really
don't mess with John McClane.
Like I really like, I think it was a great choice to have it take place during Christmas, but that doesn't make it a Christmas movie to me. It makes it a movie that takes place during Christmas.
Yeah. Okay.
They didn't wait a full year to put that. It's if they had to wait a full year to put it out on home video. That's what makes it a Christmas
movie.
They probably, there it is.
They probably did have to wait a full year for Die Hard.
Well, it
doesn't,
unless it's the 80s and it was weird.
Yeah. What are they? Just like have trouble like transferring it to VHS?
That was like what I thought as a kid. It was just like, I guess like they probably would love to have these come out at the same time, but it just, it's a lot of work.
Well,
especially like back in the 80s when like video rental was more lucrative than box office. Like it costs more to rent a movie than to go to the movie theater and see it.
Yeah. All right. Anyway. Look. I think we both have similar definitions of Christmas movies.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go through this list not compiled by us.
No, compiled by Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. Tom, mm-hmm. I'm going to warn you a little bit. You might feel a little out of your element. None of your perverted snuff films are going to be a part of this.
Well, I told you. It
Can a snuff film be a Christmas movie?
No, it can be a snuff film that takes place during Christmas time.
But what if the message that is the lesson that's learned is like, hey, at the end they're like, hey, you know what? We have each other, and we probably shouldn't have murdered that guy. You don't need to murder someone to be close to. It's a family that murdered. I don't know, a drifter. Is that who often gets murdered and stuff?
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about snuff films anymore.
Well, you're the one who brought it back up. I mean, what you're describing sounds like a good Christmas movie, a bad snuff film.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Tom?
Yes?
What's your social battery like right now?
Beep!
Oh.
Boo.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Uh-huh.
Tom, I'll tell you from my perspective, since you're avoiding the question.
Uh-huh.
My social battery feels a little drained right now.
That was what that second sound was.
The getting
but
drained.
I had to do the going up to
you,
show you the going
you gotta
down.
Go up to get down.
That's what my first single's about.
It's weird. I feel kind of drained socially, even though you can attest I don't do much socially.
Yeah, and you enjoy social things, but
I do,
but
and
it drains you.
Yeah, I don't know. It can be very easy to ignore our social battery, which is kind of what I'm doing right now,
mm-hmm.
and spread ourselves thin, or just not know, kind of like, you know, where the optimal socialization is for
you.
You
want to be a shut-in, but you can't be a party animal.
Yeah, what's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Mm-hmm. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more time alone. I don't know, maybe you need a little bit of both. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Tom, we are, as everybody knows, very pro-therapy on this podcast.
Yes.
Anybody can benefit from therapy. It's not just for people, you know, dealing with trauma.
Yeah, or going through tough times.
Yeah, it's helpful for learning positive coping skills and setting boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, Tom. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, like you, Tom. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/complete guide today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/complete guide.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
All right, Tom. Mm-hmm. Rotten Tomatoes. And I think the audience would be very impressed that you have about a quarter of a beer left in your beer bottle, and you chose not to get up and get a backup beer because you can wait 15 minutes before you get another beer.
Tim, the stuff that happens in between hitting record and hitting off is off the record. It's implicit.
Well, you got that backwards, the way that you said
the
it.
The time when you stop recording. When we're off mic, we're off mic. It's off the record.
Okay.
See you in court.
Rotten Tomatoes defines a Christmas film as a list. No. Wait.
I don't think they do define a Christmas film.
Yeah, they don't.
Yeah, they just have a list. I think it's I think maybe they have people vote.
Well, Tom, every movie on this list is certified fresh,
mm-hmm.
and it plays around with the spirit of Christmas and the holidays as a central theme. I guess that's a good way to define if Christmas is a central theme,
right.
Or the holiday. Well, if it's just the holiday, if it's a Hanukkah movie, it's not about Christmas, I guess.
Right, but if like when people are walking outside, there's like Christmas decorations. That's a Christmas movie. Then
no.
That Hanukkah movie is a Christmas movie.
No, Christmas decorate. We just establish this, Tom.
But I'm saying by their rules.
No, it's got to be a central theme.
Yeah, well, some of these on their list don't abide by that rule.
Then they sorted all these 50 movies by adjusted tomato meter. I didn't know they adjusted the tomato meter.
I don't know what that means.
Tomatometer.
Yeah, I guess maybe they're going by like old reviews and tomatoizing it. Like, it doesn't really matter.
Who cares?
Number 50 is Frosty the Snowman, 69.
From 1969.
Yeah, that's what that meant.
No, I mean, Frosty the Snowman 69 is one of those illegal movies you download.
Yeah, and it's not a snuff film, to be clear.
Frosty the Snowman's a bit of a snuff film.
Yeah, they snuff him out at the end, I guess the season to do.
Spoiler alert, he comes back. They put him in a like thing or somewhere. He comes back the next year.
Yeah, they put him in a freezer?
Yeah.
Like a little bit of him or
yeah.
something?
I liked this movie as a kid.
Yeah.
I think it's primarily like a TV movie, right?
Yeah, I think it's like, you know, 40-something minutes long.
Jimmy Durante is
Frosty, right?
Is Frosty. Yeah. It was a Rankin and Bass production, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
I always liked when they put the hat on him, he came to life. That wasn't the part. That was one of the parts I liked, because otherwise it would
be very boring.
And whenever he'd come to life, he'd go, "Happy birthday."
Yeah, yeah. He was, Frosty the Snowman was like weird enough that as a kid, you're like, yeah, I like this guy.
Yeah. It was kind of low rent, too. Like, you're like, this movie's kind of a garbage movie, but like,
and
hey.
Not much happens in it, really.
Yeah.
They sing a few songs.
There's a traffic cop that he runs afoul of at one time.
Yeah.
Frosty the Snowman is the worst Christmas song, right?
Frosty the Snowman. No, I don't think it's the worst. I think it's fun. It's a nice melody.
I feel like they were trying too hard to make it a character, and then you watch the movie and you're like, this character's not that interesting.
Yeah, this character's just a snowman. Yeah. And like his whole thing is basically that he's, you know, he's going to die. That's like the crux, the most interesting thing about the character.
Yeah, and it was pretty interesting.
Number 49 is The Snowman from 1982. I don't think I remember this book as a kid, but I don't think I ever saw the movie.
Yeah, it was one of those classy joints.
Yeah.
It was a British movie, Tom.
Yeah, David Bowie's one of the, maybe, is he the snowman?
Well, there's no dialogue in the movie.
Then,
so I don't know what David Bowie did.
Yeah. The right music.
Maybe they play Fame over the credits.
Number 48, Mickey's Christmas Carol.
Mickey Mouse, Tom,
mm-hmm.
and the whole gang.
Yeah.
Pluto, Daisy Duck, Chip, Dale, are all transported into Charles Dickens' classic, A Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Scrooge? Scrooge McDuck? Scrooge?
Yeah, he's Scrooge.
I believe that was his first
appearance. Like, he was created for it. I mean, if he wasn't, then they definitely had that in mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, because as a kid, I remember when, like, DuckTales came out, and it was like, oh, yeah, this character again. Like, he was never in anything else. And then they transported him into, you know, the real world where he wasn't Scrooge from Ebenezer Scrooge.
No, he was just a rich guy.
Yeah.
But his name was still Scrooge.
It was Scrooge McDuck, though.
Yeah, but like,
because in Christmas Carol, he's Ebenezer Scrooge, I think. No, it says Scrooge McDuck, but I think he's like Scrooge McDuck as Ebenezer Scrooge. All right. Doesn't Mickey call him Ebenezer?
Scrooge McDuck plays the miserly Ebenezer Scrooge.
Yeah, okay. So.
This was nominated for an Oscar in 1983 because I guess most movies were bad in 1983.
I
did
like
you
this
enjoy
movie.
Even as a kid?
No,
I
as a
like,
kid,
this
I always
is,
liked
this
it.
Is, did it have songs in it?
25 minutes. So. Yeah, it had Goofy as one of the ghosts.
Mickey with Bob Cratchit.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I know. All I know is that I was kind of like, eh, I don't need to see this. Even as a kid, I was like, eh, why are we doing this?
Mickey's son was Tiny Tim, and then you never saw or heard of Mickey's son again?
Yeah, he never made it into a Disney afternoon TV show.
No.
I don't know. I never found the Mickey and the gang all that compelling.
No, I mean, they're...
Donald was cool because he was angry all the time. That was cool.
Number 47, The Preacher's Wife from 1996. This is Denzel and Whitney Houston, that is. I haven't seen this movie. Directed by Penny Marshall.
Penny Marshall directed The Preacher's Wife?
An angel wonders if love can be heaven on earth in this family-themed romantic fantasy. Yeah, I don't see many family-themed romantic fantasies.
You see a lot of fanny movies that you download.
Yeah, sure. I enjoy a good fanny movie now and then. But I don't... Not only have I not seen this movie, I, like, am only vaguely aware of it. Like, this is not something that I feel like you hear a lot as a Christmas movie.
The Preacher's Wife?
Yeah.
I just don't know much about it.
Like, I remember when it came out. But I don't...
Oh, you mean in 1996?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that too.
But I don't remember hearing much about it afterwards. And it only has 60% on the tomato meter.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to Mickey's Christmas Carol, which has 100%.
Well, 1983 was a thoroughly depressing time, I guess.
Number 46, and a controversial one to be at 46, Home Alone.
This is a travesty.
Yeah.
What?
There's like a, you know what? Let's go over all three of these because these, I feel like 46, 45, and 44 are all meant to like piss off different groups of people. 45 is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, and 44 is Love Actually.
Let's take these one by one.
Yeah, but I'm just saying like all three of those are movies that are like today very
universally beloved.
Very have ardent fans, and to throw them in the 40s.
The critics' consensus for Home Alone, according to Rotten Tomatoes, Home Alone, uneven but frequently funny premise stretched unreasonably thin, is buoyed by Macaulay Culkin's cute performance and strong supporting stars. What? That premise. Look, it's. I wouldn't say it's spread thin, but they use all parts of the buffalo for that film. They attack it from all angles. There, it's like
I would not criticize it as uneven because like the movie,
every scene is a dang classic.
Well, I was gonna say like the movie moves so quickly, like so briskly, that it's like, well, it can't really be uneven because like it's moving the whole time. Like there's not chunks of the movie where it's like, oh, there's like a boring part that nothing really happens here.
Yeah, that's BS. Maybe when he's talking with the old man at the church, it's like, all right, we get it.
We get it. This old man.
You know, you don't have to be afraid of me.
Yeah, we get it. This old man kicked his son out of the house because he's gay or something.
No, his son had a wife and daughter. You see it in the last. The old man was nice. He saved Kevin McAllister.
Then why'd he fight with his son?
I don't know. Maybe his son was.
Maybe his son's a racist.
Maybe his son was
he's a racist.
Mr. McAllister's fixer and had to do some unseemly things on behalf of the McAllisters.
Maybe. I always kind of assumed, I mean, I knew it wasn't that you know, he had the fight with the son because his son was gay because his son had a wife, but I assumed it was something where, like, this guy was wrong to be mad at his son.
I don't know. I just assumed it was
and
none
now
of my
just
kind of
had a lot of regrets.
You can have a lot of regrets and everything. It's just kind of a family misunderstanding. I don't know. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. I watched this a couple nights ago, Tom.
Yeah.
On television. And you know what always was off-putting about this movie to me?
What?
Everything goes wrong. Yeah. All the time. In every scene, you know something's going to go wrong. And that puts me in a weird frame of mind. It's like, what's going to go wrong? Yep, there's a squirrel in the tree. What's going to go wrong here? They blow up the sewer. Like, what's going to go wrong here? The
lights aren't going to work.
Yeah. It's very frustrating.
I think it's supposed to be. And I think that's why it's such a beloved movie, because a lot of people can relate to it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, at the holidays, it feels like, yeah, God, like, can anything else go wrong? Like, could this holiday get any worse? Like, there are so many mishaps.
People are like, they're reminded that Poe Buddy is nerfed.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh. You should put that on a sign.
Yeah.
You recently, I don't know if this is supposed to be off the record, but you recently informed me that your wife has only seen Vegas Vacation, and it's one of her favorite movies, and has no interest in seeing any of the other vacation movies?
Yeah, I mean, it came out that I think along the line she had seen most of Christmas Vacation.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah.
It's hard to avoid.
But like, had never seen the original Vacation. European Vacation, I think very few people have seen.
Yeah,
and that's kind of like the most lowbrow of all of them, right?
Yeah, like
there's too much.
Vegas Vacation is the most low budget of all of them.
When National Lampoon's is like, nah, you know what? You can leave our name off this.
Yeah, Vegas Vacation's great though.
Christmas Vacation has a little too much gross out humor for me in it.
Which one?
Christmas Vacation.
Like the slobbery dog and
There's just a lot of the Randy Quaid stuff. Randy Quaid is hands down the funniest character in the movie.
Yeah,
but like some of it is just kind of like, all right, there's like dog poop jokes and like he's like emptying the RV into the sewer. There's just like some visual stuff that's just like, all right, this is.
Actually, I don't think there's too much visual stuff. I think it's. I watched it two nights ago, Tom.
I mean,
you don't see the poop coming out of the RV.
Yeah, you absolutely do.
Yeah, but you can't tell it's poop.
You. And then Love Actually, which I started to watch about a week ago. I had never seen it, and I was.
Yeah,
like,
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Yeah,
Liam Neeson's in it. Oh, I was saying, never mind.
Who'd you think?
Leslie Nielsen. Misread it for a second.
Coming in at number 43.
Yeah.
Krampus.
Yeah, and this is like, to me.
Krampus before Home Alone?
Yeah. That's like, come on.
Fine, whatever. Adam Scott's in it.
Yeah, Adam Scott. It's, I didn't know it was, the fondness for Joe Dante, but Joe Dante didn't direct it. Yeah, that was one of those movies that I thought kind of came and went. Like, it was one of those, like, people were...
came at Christmas, left at New Year's.
That people were excited that they were making a Krampus movie, but then when it came out, you stopped hearing about it, so I assume, like, oh, it, yeah, it
Christmas
wasn't good.
Christmas was over, Tom.
No, it didn't come out on Christmas Day. It came out, like, you know, around...
Some movies do.
That's true.
That's something that we don't talk about enough. Some movies come out on Christmas Day.
Yeah. Some movies this year will be coming out on Christmas Day.
Yeah, there's one I wanted to see on Christmas Day. Do you think Vice, the movie about Dick Cheney, will be considered a Christmas movie?
No, because it's coming out around Christmas, but I don't
believe... coming out on Christmas, Tom.
Oh, okay. But
it's entering the world the same day the baby Jesus entered the world.
Well, Tim... You know that he is born during the summer.
You're one of these, well, actually, diehards, Christmas movie.
Yeah, but just because a movie comes out on Christmas, if it doesn't have any Christmas elements, also a movie coming out on Christmas is coming out too late to be a Christmas. Like, if it's a Christmas movie, don't have it come out on Christmas. You need to take advantage of the lead up to Christmas.
Yeah.
No Christmas movies come out on Christmas Day.
I mean, I don't think you know that for sure.
I would put money on it. $500,000.
Well, here's a movie that almost came out on Christmas, but just one day early. At number 42, The Night Before. Was this like Zac Efron or something?
Joe Gordon-Levitt.
JGL and Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
It's one of these like drugs movies, Tom.
The Night Before provokes enough belly laughs to qualify as a worthwhile addition to the list of Christmas comedies worth revisiting, even if it isn't quite as consistent as the classics.
More consistent, apparently, than Home Alone, though.
Yeah, but... yeah, when did it come out? Like, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's another movie that, like, I remember the lead-up to it being released. I've never heard about this movie again after that marketing campaign ended.
Well, Tom,
mm-hmm.
Looks like it's time to revisit it. It reached the top 50.
Yeah, apparently it's way better than Home Alone.
Yeah. At 41, A Very Harold and Kumar Christmas. Mm-hmm. All I know about that is it has a stunning star turn from a man named Amir in it.
Was this the third Harold and Kumar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was after they go to Guantanamo Bay.
Right, of course. Yeah, I haven't seen. I think I only saw that first Harold and Kumar.
What I don't understand about Cal Penn, is he was working in the White House, and this was back when this like meant something.
Yeah,
he was working in the White House.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
And then he left. I think temporarily to make this like the raunchiest, lowbrow, like some very you know. I know it's 7 years ago now, but like it's like. Oh, they can say these words in a film that's like that gets wide released. I think I usually see these on Tom's computer, the films with these words in it.
Yeah.
And then I think he was like, "Well, back to the White House."
I just had to make this Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Number 40. This is a favorite of mine. Scrooged,
Starring Bill Murray.
From 1988, and Karen Allen and John Forsythe and John Glover, directed by Richard Donner. I don't think I knew
one
that.
One of the reindeer himself.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big get. Yeah, Scrooge gets by. Oh, what? All these critics' consensuses are so negative. Scrooge gets by with Bill Murray and a dash of holiday spirit. Yeah, I think that's what the movie is. Yeah. Like, it gets. Yeah, I guess this movie gets by on its star that's in every scene. Although it's hampered by a markedly conflicted tone and an undercurrent of mean-spiritedness. But that's the whole point, because he's Scrooge.
Yeah, but he's meaner than Scrooge, even.
Yeah, but that's what I like about it, because, like, Scrooge is supposed to be, like, the ultimate asshole.
Yeah. And I feel like Bill Murray went off script. It was just like, oh, I know what'll be better for this character.
Yeah, I'll pepper some of myself into this. Yeah. A darkly comic and surreal contemporization of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol.
You know what? I'm sick of A Christmas Carol. Can I say it? Look, I don't care who comes after me. Enough Dickens. Enough. We don't need your story of ghosts and regret.
Well, you say you don't care who comes after you, but I have a feeling you're about to be visited by three ghosts, Tim.
All right, Tommy, we're going to pick up the pace a little bit here. There's 50 of these movies,
yeah,
many of which we have not seen.
No, or like even heard of.
And here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
If we haven't seen A Christmas, you and I, we're Christmas freaking fanatics.
Yeah.
We can't get enough Christmas.
But apparently all the Christmas movies we've seen are not very good. They're at the bottom of the list.
If Home Alone 2 is higher than Home Alone... Wait.
Tim, I have bad news for you. I don't think Home Alone 2 is on this list.
You know what? That's a travesty in and of itself. They must have some sort of no sequels rule.
Or money under the table. Number 36, The Muppet Christmas Carol from 1992, directed by Brian Henson.
It's pronounced Jim Henson.
And starring Michael Caine.
Yeah, Tom?
Uh-huh.
I love the Muppets.
Yeah.
This movie's good. It's fine. I saw it for the first time last year, which is weird. It was like the one Muppet movie I haven't seen. I don't think I've seen the newest, The Muppets Most Wanted, either. I watched some of that, and I was just like, grow up, Tim. I think it's time to put this behind you.
Yeah, or at the very least, like, go and watch an old one. Yeah. Don't watch it. The new ones aren't for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know if I've really seen it like in its entirety.
The music is really good.
Yeah.
Who did Paul Williams do the music for this? I wouldn't be surprised if he did.
Did they get is Paul Williams John Williams' son? Is this a son fest?
No, Paul Williams is a legendary songwriter.
No. Oh, you say so. number 34, I'm gonna skip to. Number 35 is a foreign film I've not heard of. Happy Christmas, which I saw a couple of years ago.
That's one of those mumblecore movies?
Yeah, it's a Joe Swanberg movie that I really liked.
Tom, let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
It's called Happy Christmas.
Yeah.
It takes place at Christmas.
Uh-huh.
Is that a Christmas film, though?
Yeah. Even though
I think I saw this, but I don't really remember much of it.
Americans do not say Happy Christmas. They say Merry Christmas. In the UK, they say Happy Christmas. However, this movie does not take place in the UK.
Well, he does learn a lesson. I can't remember which one.
Anna Kendrick learns a lesson.
Literally all those movies are exactly the same.
Yeah, but this is a good one.
Tom, you just love Anna Kendrick.
Yeah,
so
I do.
Much. That's all you care about. Because, like, I feel like...
I also do like...
if she wasn't in this movie, Tom, you'd be like, what is this hipster mumblecore bullshit?
Yeah, but she's in it, so it's not
She
hipster.
Plays like a mess. I remember this. She, like, sleeps in her car or something.
Melanie Lynskey is in it too, and I like her a lot. She's very funny.
Yeah, she's good. She was in that HBO show that those boys also did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number 33, The Santa Claus.
Starring American hero Tim Allen.
Yeah, this is Tim Allen accidentally kills Santa Claus, right?
Yeah, and then he has to be
then
Santa
Claus. Then he becomes Santa Claus?
Yeah.
They lean very heavily in this movie on him just going into progressively fatter and fatter makeup.
Yeah, which, hey.
It was the go-go 90s, and that's what, you know, sold a movie.
Yeah, Tim Allen was, this was just as Home Improvement was getting going, 94.
Yeah.
That's about right.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, when was Home Improvement, 91, 92 started?
When it started, yeah. Yeah, when so this was when it was, like, real big.
When did he,
go to jail for cocaine?
Yeah, but
for dealing cocaine.
But got his sentence reduced because he snitched on all the other people in the ring. That was in the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah, it was in the 80s.
Yeah, but he's he loved trafficking and selling cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't play into this movie at all, does it?
I don't know. I mean, there might be like a few times where he's like, hey, we're going to make it a white Christmas. And he winks at the camera.
I mean, have you ever seen this movie?
Like, not all of it.
This seems like something that like jaded Hollywood screenwriters like did a whole bunch of cocaine and wrote this movie in an hour.
Yeah. Well, they made three of them, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Mrs. Claus is the second one. He had to trick a lady into being Mrs. Claus.
Yeah.
And then
he had to trick a lady into murdering Mrs. Claus so she could become Mrs. Claus.
Maybe that there was only two.
That was the weird thing about this movie to me. Even like when it came out, we were, you know, relatively young.
I mean, you were a teenager.
I was 13.
Yeah, that's a teenager, Tom. You can tell by the telltale thing is teen in the word.
A young teen. But I remember even then having the wherewithal to be like, I've never heard the idea that Santa Claus is like a magical entity that people inherit when Santa Claus dies.
No, that was a new wrinkle that that a coked up Hollywood screenwriter came up with.
Yeah, he stole that from the Green Lanterns. Anyway, number 31, Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas might actually be my favorite Christmas movie.
Yeah, man. It rules.
Oh, boy. When I was a kid, like that was like the most soothing movie. Yeah.
It's a Jim Henson joint.
Yeah.
It's got none of the Muppets you know and love. There's an intro from Kermit.
Right.
And a little epilogue from Kermit.
Which, interestingly, I was reading when the Henson Company sold the Muppets to Disney, they had to edit the Kermit parts out of this.
Yeah.
Except when it would air on an ABC-owned property, and then they would put the Kermit stuff back in.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Same thing with the Muppet Christmas toy, which I assume won't make this list. Scared the hell out of me as a kid.
Yeah.
But is also pretty good.
Well, and this had, like, also when I was reading, like, a lot of, and actually, I didn't know it was this old. It's from 1977.
Yeah.
Had a lot of like technological Muppet breakthroughs, like a lot of stuff that they did for the first time they did on this movie.
Yeah, Tom, I'll tell you one thing, and I'm just confirming this, but I'm
great music.
Yeah, you know who wrote it? Freaking Paul Williams.
Yeah, John Williams' son.
No, he's a classic. He looks like this, Tom. You've seen him.
Oh, yeah, I know that guy.
Paul Williams.
He's played like a bad guy in a few movies, right?
I don't know if that's true.
Number 29, Bad Santa.
Bad Santa?
Uh-huh.
More like good movie.
You like Bad Santa?
It was the original bad in the bad universe. Bad teachers, bad grandpa, dirty grandpa.
Geez, Bad Santa's 15 years old at this point.
Yeah, they made a sequel, even though like half the people died.
Oh, well, spoiler alert.
No, no, I mean...
like the actors.
Bernie Mac's in it.
Yeah, yeah.
John Ritter's in it.
Okay.
And they made a sequel, like, what, 2016 or something?
Yeah, not that long ago.
It's
called Bad Santa 2.
Have you ever seen Bad Santa?
I don't think I have. I've seen bits of it. I know, like, some people love it.
It does exactly what you would think it does. It's like... you know, it goes for the look. If you look at the
the poster,
you're like, oh, this kid is gonna turn the bad Santa good, right?
Yeah,
and it kind of works, but very clearly, the lore of this is that the Coen brothers did an uncredited
rewrite,
and you can like definitely tell in the dialogue.
Oh, okay.
Although you could tell me, because I'm not a freaking connoisseur, you could show me the worst movie ever, but like beforehand be like, the Coen brothers secretly made this.
You know,
I'd
they
like,
did a draft on this.
Yeah, I'd be like, whew, yeah, you could really tell. This was great.
Wasn't that how Bill Murray got tricked into doing Garfield?
No, that just had, there's a different Ethan Coen.
Right, but that's like, yeah. He saw it and he was like, well, it has to be good. he fell
or
into
Joel
your
Coen,
trap.
Yeah.
Number 28, and this, I will say, is my favorite.
This is not a Christmas movie.
Movie that happens during Christmas.
Yeah, this is not a Christmas movie.
Batman Returns, 1992.
Yeah.
And this year I've seen a lot of people online that are like, no. Like, if we're going to, like, take the shackles off of what's considered a Christmas movie.
And also, why? Why would you do that?
But, like, if you're going to say Die Hard's a Christmas movie, Batman Returns is a better Christmas movie than Die Hard is a good Christmas movie.
Batman Returns is the best Batman movie that's ever been made.
No.
And it is still ridiculous that it is like 30 spots ahead of Home Alone on the best goddamn Christmas movie list.
Yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes.
Man, Danny DeVito as the Penguin, Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman, Christopher Walken as a made-up character, or Max Scheck, I think that's his name, something like that.
Made-up character. He's not even from the lore.
He might be. I don't want to get angry emails. He might be like, you know, a previously established businessman in the DC universe. But yeah, what a fun, like, to make...
it was basically our generation's introduction to Christopher Walken, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was like the first time I remember seeing Christopher Walken in 1992.
Michelle Pfeiffer at the peak of her powers.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Danny DeVito looking like legitimately gross.
Biting a guy's nose off.
Yeah. Oh, what a great film.
Yeah. Paul Rubens as... as the Penguin's dad who sends him down a river because he's deformed.
Yeah, just puts him in a basket and sends him down the river. Was that pre or post arrest?
I think it was post. Or maybe it was filmed
before. I bet it
was before.
Filmed pre.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and it makes sense. Just put it together that Tim Burton directed Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah.
And that's why Paul Rubens was in this movie.
Yeah, they were buddies.
Tom, we'd normally skip this, according to the new rules, but 27 is the bishop's wife. Do you think that has anything to do with the preacher's wife? This is a movie from 1948. Do you think the preacher's wife was like an updated version of it 50 years later?
Maybe. And probably, actually.
Yeah. Number 25, The Elf.
Not called The Elf.
Starring
just
Will Ferrell.
Yeah, Will Ferrell. Directed by Jon Favreau, who I was just talking to you about off camera.
Yeah. I mean, we're still off camera, but...
Oh, yes. Yeah, there aren't any hidden cameras in here.
Oh, brother.
What do you think of Elf?
I like it.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever seen it in sequence all the way through. I've probably seen every scene of the movie.
Yeah.
But, you know.
That was kind of a big introduction to the Zooey Deschanel for a lot of people, too.
Yeah, she didn't have her trademark bangs or her trademark brown hair.
I think she was
hair.
Blonde, yeah. But she did sing in the Zooey Deschanel way.
Baby, it's cold outside. Did you see this? Yeah, that was the duet they did in the show.
Oh, was it?
I really can't stay. That's a... spot-on impression of Zooey Deschanel.
No, that's not the way she sings.
You're welcome. I really can't say.
That's not the way she sings either.
Do you know about this? It's 2018, so they Baby, It's Cold That Outside has looped back around, and it's good now. It's not a date rape song.
Yeah, because now people are saying, like, no, it's actually about, like, her saying what other people will think, and that's like bad. Like she wants to stay.
She's giving the cover story because she knows that society would frown upon this. So it's actually empowering. I can't keep up.
I don't think it's a good enough song to...
Yeah, be like, no, we must make this good again.
Yeah. Number 23, Gremlins, 1984, which is another, like, it takes place during Christmas.
I don't know. The story of the dad getting stuck in the chimney and dying because of pretending to be Santa Claus.
Is that part of it? You know, yeah. I don't know if I've ever seen Gremlins all the way
through. I saw it for the first time last year. Yeah. I would say it's more Christmassy than you think. And they learn a valuable lesson at the end. Don't get a gremlin.
Don't
get a mogwai.
If you're going to get one, don't get it wet or feed
it
after
midnight.
Yeah,
they learn a few rules about...
I've seen Gremlins too. Again, I have like weird holes in my movie knowledge based on like... HBO's licensing as a kid. Like HBO had Gremlins 2 and played it all the time.
Yeah.
And they rarely played the first Gremlins.
Seeing Gremlins 2 and not having seen Gremlins is, I think, not out of the ordinary. I mean, that was my situation up until last year. And I've heard on other podcasts, Tom, on other HeadGum podcasts that there
are
some people.
Was like Gremlins 1 R and Gremlins 2 is PG-13 or something like that? Like, Gremlins 1 was much more a horror movie than Gremlins 2.
Yeah, Gremlins 2 came out like 9 or 10 years later or something. Or like 8 or 9 years later, where like Joe Dante was like, no, I'm not going to knock. And then they were finally just like, do it.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's been so long. And they were just like, do whatever you want. And he's like, really?
Yeah, well, I'm going to have Hulk Hogan break the fourth wall.
Yeah, make the craziest movie ever. Along those lines, number 21, Trading Places. Good movie.
Good movie. I forgot that it was it takes place during Christmas time. Yeah. I guess that's true now that I think about it, but come on.
Yeah. Tom, let's see if you know any of these. Christmas in Connecticut from 1945.
I've heard that phrase.
A Christmas Tale, 2008.
Oh, Un Conte de Noel?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Yeah, I've heard that one.
Tokyo Godfathers from 2003.
No, but I'm interested.
Yeah,
I'd like to hear more.
Yeah. Certainly a better, a more classic Christmas film than Home Alone.
Yes.
Rare Exports, A Christmas Tale from 2010.
Hearing about it for the first time. Oh, it's a Finnish movie, I think.
The Finns. Number 16, baby, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which, Tom?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what?
What?
Newly problematic.
Yeah, why is that? I've seen the headlines, but I haven't.
I think, if, from what I understand, and I'm not mocking this, like, because like there's a lot of stuff in quote classic entertainment that's like, this doesn't fly. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Unlike Rudolph, who does fly. But I think it was like Rudolph's parents are mean to him because he's different.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, no, that's. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's not celebrated
like,
in the
Batman
movie.
Is Batman Returns problematic because...
the Penguin's parents put him in a river?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everything that I read, and I could be wrong, so, you know, at me about this, I guess, because if there is a legitimate thing. But it was all, like, story beats. And it was like, yeah, and then he's only rewarded. Actually, I agree with this. Rudolph is only rewarded when... He proves himself when his deformity proves itself to be useful to others.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, you're actually good because we need this. Right. And like, maybe it is. It's bad. Rudolph is bad.
Yeah. I mean, now that you mention it, like, even as a kid, I always thought it was like kind of a muddled narrative of like, wait, why is his nose so bad? Like, why is that such a big deal?
All of this stuff, all these songs that were turned into movies, they were the most obvious cash-ins where it's just like, I don't know, the reindeer is nose glows. How about that? And they're like, hey, yeah, this song is, it's got a good sound to it or whatever. And then they're like, all right, make all the merchandising. Like, it's just opportunistic bullshit, yeah. Right?
I guess it's only, like, problematic because it's aimed at kids and you're trying to teach kids lessons. But, like, in the real world, yeah, sometimes people have something wrong with them that people don't appreciate them until they can get some use out of it. Like, it's actually probably, like, a really realistic story.
Yeah, but it's, like, it's celebrating
right.
the whole thing that's terrible. Number 15, Tom, A Charlie Brown Christmas.
Yeah. This was a staple of my childhood.
Yeah, I watched this the night before last night. The same night I watched Christmas Vacation, I watched this movie.
Wow, you had a real...
I am Christmas crazy this year.
That'll explain how jolly you are.
Thank you. You saying I gained weight?
No.
Charlie Brown Christmas, it is way more melancholy than I ever gave it credit for. It starts at a 2 and it peaks at a 4.
Yeah.
This thing, nobody ever really gets happy in this thing.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's great. I love it. I'm going to watch it again tonight.
Number 14, Edward Scissorhands.
Not a Christmas movie.
I mean, it's another one. I mean, this one, it is like a morality tale. And it does not the whole movie doesn't take place at Christmas. Yeah. Just part of it takes place at Christmas. So yeah, that's a real, I mean, like a cool part, like the snowing part is beautiful looking, but yeah, come on. It's not a Christmas movie.
Johnny Depp.
Mm-hmm. Johnny out of his Depp.
Yeah, exactly. Number 13, A Christmas Story. Yeah, it's good.
It's good. It's gotten like way too hyped over the years.
Too much merchandising around it now. Like every joke has a product associated with it that you right. can buy in a store. It's yeah. like, all right, I think we've done this movie to death now.
Yeah, you can buy the leg lantern. You can buy like his bunny suit. Like,
you can buy a replica of the Red Ryder BB gun. Like you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, one of those movies where I'm sure. Maybe we've even talked about this at some point. As a kid, very confusing because I thought it was a movie from the 50s, just like Happy Days.
Yeah. Number 12, I've never heard of it, Arthur Christmas, but it has nothing to do with Dudley Moore's Arthur. So
no.
Don't
well,
get
it's
an
animated movie, yeah. apparently.
Yeah. Number 11, hey, this is cute, Die Hard.
Must be some cool people working at Rotten Tomatoes.
Number 10, we had to do every top 10. 1940s, Remember the Night.
Remember the Night? How could I remember it? I've never heard of it.
Number 9, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. This might be my number one.
Yeah, it's a very good and short.
The Grinch isn't so bad.
No, he just wants to be left alone.
Yeah.
He's an introvert.
And we're talking, of course, about the Jim Carrey version.
Oh, it is the 1967 version. Chuck Jones, which I never really thought about, but that makes 100% sense.
Yeah. And that song, man, the Grinch's theme song.
Yeah, you're a mean one.
Yeah. Boris Karloff.
Does he sing that?
I don't know. Number 8, The Apartment, a classic film.
Yeah, we all know that
Billy
one.
Wilder. Jack Lemmon, Shirley MacLaine. Everybody loves it. Number 7, Babes in Toyland. Now, don't get excited, Tom. Babes and toys are two of your favorite things. But this is a movie from 1934. It's a Laurel and Hardy.
Yeah. This is like for my, like some people, they just love the hell out of this thing, right?
Yeah.
Like my cousins, this is like what they grew up on.
Were they a WPIX family?
They're WPIX. They're all in their late 90s. they love this. It is like their family's Christmas movie.
It's good.
Yeah.
But like Little Bo Peep is like in it. it's weird. Number 6. Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas.
You know what? Embarrassed to say it, I don't think I've ever seen this all the way through.
I saw it. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I think I probably like it.
It's a technical feat.
Yeah.
Some good songs, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's always like, and that's, it's weird when you think about it, like, Tim Burton's obsessed with Christmas, huh? Like, yeah. He's made so many movies that take place during Christmas or have scenes during Christmas. You
three
know.
On this list alone. Exactly. Placing all of which place higher than Home Alone. Mm-hmm.
Tim Burton.
Fucking travesty.
The Christmas Man.
This is great. Number five, The Shop Around the Corner from 1940. Number four, Holiday Inn from 1942. Number three, Miracle on 34th Street. Not even the one with that adorable Matilda in it.
No, this is the original from 1947.
Yeah.
Which, like, as a kid, I remember, like, watching and thinking, like, this is boring. This is so boring. Everything old is boring.
Everything old is boring. Number two, Meet Me in St. Louis.
Yeah, of course.
A much better movie for Christmas time than Home Alone.
Tim, are you trying to compare Macaulay Culkin to Judy Garland?
Yeah, I would. Judy Garland sucked.
I'm glad she's dead.
No, she's alive.
No, she's not alive, Tim.
She faked her death. No. That's common knowledge, Tom.
She's Liza Minnelli's mom?
Yeah. She's 136 years old, living,
somewhere where they were playing Wizard of Oz with the motion smoothing on the TV. That is an insane movie to watch when it looks like it's been videotaped.
Oh, man, yeah.
Like, that was, like, the first time I've seen that motion smoothing thing where I'm like, no, I think I would like to watch this in this way. This is crazy to me. I feel like I'm on fucking LSD right now watching this thing. Like, there's a documentary and this all happened.
Oh, man, we should do that. Can you see the munchkin hanging himself?
No, you can't see the munchkin hanging themselves, but, like, I don't know. Like, I noticed so many more, the one scene I saw, I forget where the hell I was, but it was during the Munchkin Land scene. And, like, I noticed so many, like, things extras were doing that I was like, that one's looking at the camera. Like, that one, like, I don't think knows that a take is happening right now. Like,
just smoking a cigarette.
There were just so many more details that I noticed. The only way to watch it, put on motion smoothing and watch The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, and drop some acid.
And the number one Christmas movie of all time, It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, it sure is.
Tom, yeah? My main association with It's a Wonderful Life is sitcoms from the late 80s, early 90s, talking about how It's a Wonderful Life is on constantly on every TV channel for all of December, right?
I thought you were going to say how many sitcoms do an It's a Wonderful Life episode.
That too. But then I think somebody bought the rights to it. It's like, we're only going to show it one time. I think Ted Turner did it on one of his things. I've never seen this movie.
You've never seen It's a Wonderful Life?
No. Seems fine. Donna Reed's in it.
Yeah. Oh, man. When I was a kid,
Jimmy Stewart's in it. What's Jimmy Stewart? Do a Jimmy Stewart.
Jimmy Stewart? Oh, he's in it? Well, that could be a good movie then. When I was a kid, I had the biggest crush on Donna Reed.
Me too.
Really?
Yeah, Nick at Night, man.
Oh, my goodness. It was like, how do they have such a beautiful woman on TV back then.
Yeah.
Like, this must have driven people wild.
If somebody showed you a picture of Donna Reed currently, you would have been like, oh, no.
No, I think I would have understood that. It was like, that's what confused me about A Christmas Story and Happy Days. Like, I understood when something happened long ago. If somebody showed me a picture of Donna Reed when I was a kid, I would be like, yeah, no, I know she's old now. But she was hot back then.
Yeah. Older people can be attractive. So.
Not like 80-year-old people. No, they can't. I'm sorry. Sorry if that is problematic, Tim. Write an article about me. Tom Reynolds is people in their 80s can't be attractive anymore.
Well, we've done it. Tom, are there any films that you feel were left off Rotten Tomatoes top 50?
I mean, I would agree with you. Home Alone 2 should be on there.
Yeah. I would say a Muppet's Christmas Toy should have been on there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one that scared the hell out of you, right?
Yeah. And also, the Muppets Christmas Together, Muppet Family Christmas, I think it's called.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Oh, man. Yeah, there was a special they did with John Denver called Christmas Together. That
I remember the John Denver collab.
This one, Tom, let me tell you about the Muppets Family, a Muppet Family Christmas.
Okay.
All the Muppets.
Yeah.
Go to freaking...
Even the Sesame Street ones?
Hold on. I'm getting to that. All the Muppets from The Muppet Show,
mm-hmm.
they're going to Fozzie's mom's cabin.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Fozzie's mom, she's like, I'm going to California. I'm going to Malibu, I think, to go surfing.
Yeah.
A grandma bear. She's going surfing.
Is she a grand? Does Fozzie have children?
I mean, she's like as old as a grandma. Okay. Fozzie, we find out Fozzie's like a fully adult man. Bear. So they're all going there. So anyway, they get there. Who's renting the house on some sort of Airbnb situation?
Mm-hmm.
Who's just getting there at the same time? Doc? The guy who lives over the Fraggles?
Oh, yeah.
So he's renting it from Fozzie's mom. All the Muppets get there. Fozzie's mom's like, "Well, I gotta stay and accommodate all you guys." Then the freaking Sesame Street Muppets get there.
Wow!
And they're all partying together. They're all interacting. A lot of laughs to be had. A lot of songs. Then they go down to the basement. They find a freaking Fraggle hole. They go to Fraggle Rock. They sing some songs. The Fraggles see them. And then guess what? Fraggles come back up into the living room. It's freaking everybody just having a blast singing Christmas songs.
It is Infinity War before Infinity War.
Exactly. And if that doesn't make Rotten Tomatoes top 50 Christmas movies of all time, well then fuck Rotten Tomatoes. Fuck you, Rotten Tomatoes. Home Alone at number, 46? And Muppet Family Christmas nowhere on the list? This website should be banned from the internet. Get off the goddamned internet.
Let me ask you a very important question that's going to immensely color whether I'm able to enjoy this or not.
Mm-hmm.
How'd they handle the issue of scale with the Fraggles?
Hmm. Well, the Doozers never came up.
Right, but the Fraggles are also very small.
I don't think that's canon, Tom.
No, they are. Like, whenever they would go up to Doc's, like, they were tiny. Not, like, tiny, tiny, but they were smaller. They were, like, half the size you would think that they were. Half the size of, like, the real-life, like, Muppet size to fit a hand in there.
Well, I'll tell you
this much. I don't think
the
Muppets would fit in Fraggle Rock.
I'll tell you this much, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Freaking number one,
mm-hmm.
the Muppet Baby is also making an appearance.
What? As cartoons or as puppets?
As puppets. They watch a home movie of them at Christmas when they were kids.
Yeah.
And number two, the Swedish chef is in the kitchen the whole time making dinner. The turkey outsmarts him and gets away.
Yeah.
Smooth talking turkey.
Yeah, hurdy birdy.
And guess what? Freaking the Swedish chef tries to lure Big Bird in and murder Big Bird and cook him for dinner.
Oh, man.
That's like a 5-minute subplot. It's great.
I don't know if I like that.
He doesn't succeed. Spoiler alert,
he
doesn't succeed.
He never succeeds. Man,
imagine the Muppet Family Christmas ended with the Swedish chef murdering Big Bird.
Or ended with him like wheeling out a cooked Big Bird and like everybody throwing up and crying.
And who's doing the dishes at the end? Jim Henson himself.
Really?
It's a real beautiful film.
No, no rest for the weary.
Yeah.
And do they know who he is?
No, nobody acknowledges him. He just goes like, well, looks like I'll do the dishes.
And like, well, it's a living.
Yeah.
If you like the show, you can find out more at tcgt.com. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/complete guide. Follow us on Twitter @CompleteGuide. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram @TomReynolds.
Follow me @YourPalTim.
And if you want to support the show, you can support our sponsors. That helps us immensely. You can also check out tcgt.com/Amazon for your Amazon shopping. All the purchases done through that link support the show. And tcgt.com/pledge for our Patreon, where you can get bonus weekly mini episodes of things like Fast Food Friday, Justice League Minute, You Look Marvelous, Riverdale Review, and many, many more.
Tom, is there going to be exciting stuff coming there soon?
Yeah.
Oh, you shouldn't say that.
Well, there's a revamp coming, and yeah.
You're not going to want to miss it.
Yeah. Things are going to be changing.
For the better.
In good ways, yeah. Yes. And we'll be talking more about that in the coming weeks. But hey, why not get in on it now? I mean, you know, I guess you could wait, but whatever. Get in on it now. You get the old episodes too. Anyway, Tim, you've complicated things before anything was ready to be announced.
Sorry, Tom.
Oh, and tcgt.com/store for our merch. So if you get your order in now before Christmas, and it will get there before Christmas, hopefully. Depends on the mail. It will get there.
I don't know. By the time this comes out, Tom, I think that's a pretty tall order.
Yeah.
Get your New Year's gifts.
Yeah. Hey, get a IOU for a loved one.
Yeah. Yeah, just print out the receipt.
Yeah.
Tom, any surprise to you that our Christmas movies episode started with me getting worked up about Home Alone and ended with me getting worked up about A Muppet Family Christmas?
Yeah. No, it's not. It's pretty on brand.
Yeah.
And me talking about how a Batman movie's one of the best Christmas movies.
It's a complete guide Christmas.
Yeah. It's a very, like, so Batman Returns, I don't know, it's like a very Christmassy feeling movie. Like, it sets a nice Christmas tone, I feel like.
Yeah. Except with all that crime.
Well, that's where Batman comes in, you see. I rewatched, like, the end of that recently where Michael Keaton rips off his mask to show Michelle Pfeiffer, like, hey, it's me, Bruce Wayne. It's very weird how easy it was for him to rip the mask. Because like a rubber mask, but he just kind of like
he's
very
strong.
Easily
he's
tears
got superhuman
it off.
Strength, no, right? Isn't that Batman's thing?
He doesn't have superhuman strength. And also it makes it very obvious that like when he rips the mask off, somehow his eye makeup goes away too.
Yeah, well.
What are you going to do? I would say keep the eye makeup on. As a kid, that would have blown my mind. Like, oh man, yeah, look at how realistic this is. Anyway, we'll see you. And next week, goodbye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.